It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the BEA beautiful studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's with an S, Phoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. We have on the line Jacob Hornburg. He's the founder and president of the Future of Freedom Foundation. In 1989, he founded the Future of Freedom Foundation. And I'll tell you, back in the day, there wasn't a whole lot of future of freedom thinking. So, it's good to have somebody who was doing it. And I tell you, the first Freedom Summit that we had was in 2001. And Mark Victor and I, when we did this, and we have another one coming up in the first weekend in December again for 2010. And I tell you, we who were we going to have to be our first keynote speaker? What name could kind of, set us off, let people know, what we're here for, what we're talking about? Well, we had Jacob Hornberger on as our keynote speaker in 2001. And the reason is that he's so articulate, from a perspective that a lot of people don't certainly at the time was not getting. He's a Christian that's fluent in Spanish, that has an excellent economics background and understands freedom, done a lot of work. I welcome Jacob Hornberger. I got you there, Jacob?
You got me.
Great
to be here, Ernie.
I really want to give you an opportunity to promote the Future of Freedom Foundation because it was a big impact on a lot of us for a long time because you had to – Freedom Daily is a publication you still do and you send out to your subscribers and so on. Describe that to us and why you started it and why you've continued it in the age of the internet.
Well, we wanted to, when we first started FFF, present a really pure, uncompromising case for the libertarian philosophy. No reforms, no reductions, no transitions. Just here's the case for libertarianism for two reasons. One is this is the moral case, but also I was convinced then, I remain more convinced than ever, that this is really the only pragmatic approach. Forget all the transitions and reforms. The real thing that works is freedom. So why not just advocate freedom, immediate freedom? And so that was our position, and that's the way we devised Freedom Daily, just a little booklet with a series of articles every month, and we've been doing that every month for about 21 years now. And when we went live on the internet, we put it on for free, but with a 3-month time lag. And we encouraged people to, hey, keep subscribing. This is a way you can support our work because we do rely on donations. And so we continued putting it up on the internet for free and encouraged people to donate to us. So we've reached a lot of people this way, both with the print and with the internet now.
The one thing I want to get, this is a short segment here. We're going to go into break here in a little bit, and then we'll have a longer time to talk. And I want to make sure that people understand from a person that has been in this battle for a long time to see the ebbs and flows of the freedom message, the libertarian message, where it goes, who tries to take it, who wants to represent it, who is it that, is the guardian of all that is holy and who isn't, and why? Why is this still a contention? Have we figured this out yet? Well, I don't know. We're going to try and figure it out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jacob Hornberger from Future of Freedom Foundation, fff.org. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and a big independence declaring kind of guy, Jacob Hornberger from the Future Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. Tell me, Jacob, I need to know why it is that libertarianism needs defending. Don't we have the Libertarian Party out there being all libertarian and everything?
Well, the party plays an important role for, especially for people who are interested in politics, but there's a whole group of people out there that are just not too oriented toward the political process, but they are interested in moving America in a better direction. So, as you know, the libertarian movement encompasses much more than just the political side of this thing. It's doing what you're doing on the radio and through all your work at advancing ideas on liberty. It's our work in the think tank business, the educational foundations. I mean, it's just one huge, exciting movement. And so it pretty much encompasses whatever anybody wants to do to play a part in this role of trying to get America back on the right track again.
What track? What's the right track? Tell me the right track.
Well, it's a track toward freedom, and specifically we orient toward economic freedom, but in the last 9 years or so, half of our work has dealt with foreign policy. And when we first got started, we were talking about foreign policy and the empire that had come into existence in the 20th century or the latter part of the 19th century and how this was going to ultimately redound to our detriment. And sure enough, you know, we were one of those that were predicting terrorism on American shores before 9/11. And then, of course, it hits. And in fact, as you'll recall, I was one of the first ones to talk about this blowback at your conference that happened right after 9/11. And I remember how many people were upset in the audience, especially the conservatives, that because they were buying into this notion that, oh, you know, the foreigners hate America for its freedom and values and stuff. And I sat up there and said, look, this is a direct result of U.S. foreign policy. And that upset some people. Well, you know, 9 years later, I think people are starting to figure out that we were right on that, and they're starting to reevaluate foreign policy. So this track you're talking about is to gain economic liberty for the American people. That is, no welfare state, no Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, SBA loans, education grants, all this socialist junk that's taken our country down the road to Greece, and before that, the Roman Empire. No regulated society, DEA, drug war, and so forth. And no foreign empire and wars of aggression. Dismantle the empire and restore a limited government constitutional republic to our land.
You know, that reminds me, I haven't thought of this story for years. And what happened, I tell the audience what happened. 9/11 happened. Then we had, 3 weeks later, was our first Freedom Summit. They were canceling flights, you know, airline people were afraid that, you know, do I want to go? We're going to have enough people to go. Should we do it? Should we not do it? And we worked out a deal with the hotel that we were at. They were chopping prices, man. Everybody was canceling conferences and stuff and everything. So we go, well, if you bring it down to here, then we can go ahead and afford to do it, you know, and we'll go ahead and do it. So we knew, Mark and I knew that it was, the bad stuff was coming. They've been waiting for an incident like this, whether it was contrived or not, wasn't even the point. They had legislation sitting on the shelf somewhere that they were going to, here comes the Patriot Act. So we knew this was coming. And it was all the more reason to have the conference because it was an annual update of where we are in the freedom movement. Where are we at? You know, we just, you know, for ourselves and our friends, we didn't want to have to go to all these 15 gazillion conferences to see the one or two people that we wanted. We'll just have, you know, a dozen of the people we want and, you know, moo-hoo. Well, what happened was Bumper gave the Jacob Hornberger. Yeah, you go by Bumper. Tell me, why? Where does Bumper come from, man?
It's just a nickname my parents stuck with me with when I was a baby, and all the theories are bad, and they died without telling me the real one.
All right. So anyway, Bumper gives his speech, and it was 3 weeks after 9/11, we all understood what was coming. There was going to be war drums, war drums, war drums, and certain people were going to benefit. One of the other speakers, very well-respected, good friend of ours, Vince Soprenowitz, he took the case that we should go to Afghanistan, got to go get the hornets in their nest, and kind of, and he made whatever argument he could on that bit. The Sunday of the weekend, it was Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday was the event. On Sunday is when we started bombing Afghanistan, okay? That was it. We're in the Freedom Summit. Boom. The bombs are dropping off on Afghanistan. We're like, yep, here we go. So the presentation that you gave as a keynote and what Vin gave, there wasn't a lot of yelling and screaming or anything. It was just everybody had difference of opinion. We all go from the root cause of what's going on here. It was so important. We said, we need to get this up. There's this internet thing. Okay, there's this thing called MP3. There's this thing called whatever. So we raised $400 from the audience in about 30 seconds to buy a piece of equipment so that Mike Duggar, a friend of mine that was a state chair at one time, knew how to bring the audio off, scrub it, put it up on the internet. We got that debate right after we started bombing Afghanistan, the first real freedom argument for, against what, we put that up and it just went stupid. And this was a long time ago. And that was the power of the internet. We first started to realize as we were going into this war that we knew we could have an impact and get Jacob Hornberger's perspective out there. It was essential. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. I mean, it was an exciting time. But it was a dark time because everybody was buying, even libertarians, as you point out, Vince, were buying in all this war talk, forgetting what we've been teaching forever. War is the health of the state. And war, as Madison said, encapsulates all the dangers of liberty. It's the greatest threat to liberty, war is. And so here they went and provoked all these hornets' nests for several years before that. They had the sanctions on Iraq that were killing hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children. They had Madeleine Albright expressing the official position that the deaths of 500,000 children are worth it, Iraqi children. You've got the stationing of troops on Islamic holy land, sort of pushing their nose in it, knowing how that would irritate Muslims. You got the unconditional support to the Israeli government, regardless of what they do. So all of a sudden, there's blowback from this, as the noted author Chalmers Johnson calls it, and as the CIA calls it, retaliation for all this. And we knew what was coming because they use these as the opportunities to start taking away our freedoms. And that's what Guantanamo was about. That was what the enemy combatant doctrine is all about. The torture, which, by the way, applies to Americans just as well as to foreigners, as we all know now, the Patriot Act. I mean, it was all coming down the pike, and this is what I was trying to warn people at the time, but people were really upset because they were buying into all this fake patriotism notion about standing up for your government regardless of whether your government's right or wrong. Well,
or
that's
even
not
knowing
what patriotism.
Or even knowing whether your government was right or wrong. They were so clueless. And that's why we did this summit. It was an annual update. Can we take some of the big issues and have them explained once a year with friends that just tell me the truth? And it has grown into something that's been, we're very proud of it. But, we saw you at the Liberty Forum, Free State Project puts up just a couple months. We got to say, yo, what's up? And there, of all the events that I go to, even the Libertarian conventions and so on, it was there that I find that you've had the highest concentrations of people that just get it. I mean, did you get that impression?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they see it at the places. And as time goes on, I think you'll see more of this. I mean, look how things have turned out in Afghanistan. I mean, we're still there 9 years later. We're still now expanded it to Pakistan. Now there's still the threat of terrorist blowback. At least with this New York thing, nobody is automatically suggesting that somebody hates America for its freedom and values. Circumstances have proven that those of us that were standing against this stuff were right. And you go to a conference like that and you get a sense of, hey, people are starting to realize that it's not just the welfare state that's threatening our freedom. It's the warfare state and possibly in much greater ways.
Yeah. When we come back, I wanted to get your opinion on this Free State project thing and how, because it splitting that was part of what my presentation was about. I'm going, you know, you have these people that come here. Yeah, cool. Let's go be libertarian somewhere and just be left alone. Then you got the other people. Aha, you came. Well, you got to do what we want you to do because we got to go do something. And I'm going, you know, everybody will do what they're going to do. Just, you know, it's nice to have freedom-oriented people just in a single location. Do they have to do something? Well, you know, when we come back, you know, I think we should talk about that because I'm very interested in someone that's been nose to grindstone on this freedom movement for as long as you have. Obviously, certainly has a perspective on, I don't know, what's a good use of your time? You know, I don't know. I mean, we all have our own opinions. And I want to find out what Jacob Hornberger's is from the Future Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. We're going to go fight the man, and we should bring something. What? I don't know. We're going to find out when we come back with Jacob Hornberger here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Yeah, the love is right here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, another loving individual, Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. You know, where is the love, Jacob? What happened to it? Where'd it go?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I have the answer to that one.
You know, it's in us. I'm telling you, I've been seeing it. You know, I mean, I'm sure you like experienced it. I mean, you know, this revolution in the last couple of years where the young people just exploded onto the scene. The internet brought a lot of people together. You saw a lot of expressions of just wanting the truth. I mean, did that kind of surprise you that was out there?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I've always had this hope that all of a sudden libertarianism just pops to the surface after, well, you know, people have been working in this realm for, you know, 50 years or so. You know, Leonard Reed with the Foundation for Economic Education and all his associates, and you think we're sort of like burrowing underground. All of a sudden, we rise to the surface. And when I saw what the Ron Paul phenomenon had done, it was like, wow, that's incredible. I mean, it really encourages you to think, well, gosh, you know, all this work I've done over the years, it's nice to now be part of this grand and glorious movement where you've got these organizations that have formed as a direct result of what Ron Paul did. It's exciting to be part of this movement right now, as you well know.
Well, you know, a lot of it is just trying to stay away from all the organizations. It's just people just doing it. And that was one thing that I realized, the role that you played and a lot of us played, because I was the beneficiary of a lot of the efforts that you had. And I don't think you appreciated at the time how much an impact we all had in an accumulative effort of having resources that were available. And because I was exposed to it for so long, I knew where to find a lot of information to help provide tools for other people to exponentially be able to influence others. That's what the whole purpose of Freedom's Phoenix is all about, was to be able to categorize everything, bring all this information in, and be able to share it with other people, and then people be inspired and start adding more. Well, what happened was with the Levolution, you know, one thing that I had was absolutely no doubt what was coming. Because I had seen the impact of the people that influenced you. You came out with your stuff, the influence that you had on me and a lot of other people of the time, James Bovard's books, your efforts, the different functions that were going on. And the Libertarian Party used to be this kind of a freedom nexus where people kind of, you know, touched each other and kind of, hey, you know, what's up, and got this internet thing going on. And then they found that their efforts might have been better used somewhere else, and they go out, and outside of the Libertarian Party is – I don't know, many times bigger and more effort than actually inside. You know, you're right. This political thing is just a small part of this. It's a manifestation of those that want to, I don't know, whatever it is they want to do. But, you know, there's an argument going on right now. This is good. You'll like this. And it's, I'm pretty sure you know, but the audience knows I'm running for national chair, Libertarian Party, Memorial Day, blah, blah, blah. And I had a debate with Wayne Allen Root, was VP to Barr, and he was running. And we had a debate in Kansas weekend for this last, and he made it clear that if you elect Ernie Hancock, he'll bring up 9/11 and we'll all die, you know? So his thing is that let me get this straight. You're the next time the government does something, this time we get the Patriot Act, we get all this other stuff out of this, and you're not going to talk about it. Heck no. Proud of it, too. So I'm going, okay, you know, this needs to be known by a lot of people. What's your view on this? Do you not scare the horses? I mean, what do you do? How do we approach controversial issues like that?
I think you got to speak the truth, and it's during times of crisis when the libertarians has the biggest obligation to step forward, because that's the time when people tend to be silenced, when they're scared, because they know the government does bad things to people, and the government starts perceiving critics as traitors. And, I mean, you saw it like with the Dixie Chicks when they criticized President Bush. I mean, all of a sudden it was like they're bad people. We need to start boycotting them. And the idea was keep your mouth shut. And that's the way all governments are, and especially in times of crisis. So it's in the time of crisis when the voices of truth and freedom are most necessary to speak out. And that's what you've done. I mean, I think the thing that you asked an interesting question before the break is, you know, what role should everybody play? And it's one of the most common questions I've received in the 20-something years I've been in this. And my answer finally is, you've got to figure that out for yourself. You know, where do you best fit in this, whether it's running for office or writing letters to the editor or just donating to organizations? We have people with our organization, all they do is send us donations. That's important. I mean, that's what they want to do. They've got families to raise and so forth, and they're contributing to the movement. Look at what you're doing. I mean, you're like an energizer in this movement. You charge people's batteries up. I mean, that's a fantastic asset to this movement.
Well, you know, when we come back, we have a short segment here, and you're right. I didn't forget my question, man. I want to make sure we get to that. What should we be doing? When we come back, I want to drill down on that, because everybody can have an impact. There's a lot of things that you can do, even from your computer or from your wallet. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, and Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. In this segment, we have enough time to talk about this. I really want to get your perspective from someone that's been doing this for, oh, man, you're going up decades here, Holmes. So it's been a while. And you've seen a lot of efforts, a lot of things that have been tried and started and stopped, and people have abandoned efforts, and they continued some that they shouldn't have, and some that they probably should have, they stopped. I'm wondering, do you have a favorite? I mean, if somebody's the most effective thing, something someone can do?
No, I've concluded that there really is no big overall overarching central plan for freedom.
No central plan for freedom.
That when we achieve this thing, it's going to be what Hayek called the results of human action, not of human design. And that it's impossible to measure what all of us are doing collectively. I mean, it's just impossible. And so everybody's doing his thing. And a lot of people think, oh, well, this is just minor. It really doesn't count. But when you add up all those little things all across the country and the big things too, then that's what's going to cause the result. but nobody can plan that. Nobody can design it. You just have to do your thing for liberty, whatever that may be. And you have to have the faith that that is adding to the overall catalyst that's going to bring about the restoration of freedom in America.
I am with you. Because, you know, one thing that I've noticed is a lot of times somebody, even if they have success, well, obviously everybody should do what I'm doing because it worked and for what I was going to do. And there's other people going, yeah, but I want to do that. Well, you have to want to do that. Why? Because I want you to. So this central plan for freedom thing never works. And what I and that's why I was so confident what was going to happen, if not now, soon. And it's still going. We're just scratching the surface because I could see the impact that it had on me. You know, the works that you were doing and the people that you influenced and a lot of our other people that have been in the battle that have become our friends over the years and so on. I could see when the internet, I tell you what was the, I was waiting on. Freedom's Phoenix was born in like 95, 96. The concept, the logos, the artwork. We all had that, you know, a long time ago. What we were waiting on was internet video. I said, when the internet starts doing video, it is over for corporate media. Because you can do all the flashbang whiz intro, shock and awe, blowing up F-15 fighters whizzing by all you want. And I trump that with policeman Billy clubbing the crap out of some kid on a bicycle, you know. And I go, I win. I got substance over style. And the thing is, when you start doing that and you're showing people what's really going on, you can find that there's a lot of people that want to add their story. And the accumulation of just 5 minutes of a video or a story from an iPhone that captured an event that then, you know, immediately after that, CNN is doing a camera angle, say, a couple hundred people go. When the people there know there was 10,000 people there, it eliminates the credibility of the cable news networks. And then where do you go for your news? Well, they're going to each other. And that right there has been what I've been waiting for, was for us to be the media, for us to be able to share the truth, for us to show who's lying. You know, the court jesters for the king over here, they're just a mechanism by which they try to penetrate the matrix with blah. And what happens when you got people that were there and they go, yeah, whatever they said, this is my little low quality, low res iPhone video that just went up now that what's really going on. And that is what's going to happen. I see the future being very interesting. Let me ask you one thing. Let's go big future on this. Space travel. You know, that's one thing a lot of people don't know. There's two private space stations, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, in orbit right now for the past year and a half. You know, there's $70 million written, a check by Bigelow Aerospace, which is a guy that owns Budget Suites out of Las Vegas, paid Russian Rocket to go put up two space satellites that are stations that they're proof of concept. They're getting ready to put hotels in space. We got Richard Branson of Virgin Airways, you know, starts airlines, starts Virgin Galactic with Burt Rutan, Spaceship Two. They're starting a ferry. They got Diamandis, the guy that behind the Onasari X Prize, has Rocket Racing League that's coming online this year. I mean, it's on and on and on, and they never say a freaking word. And I'm going, why is that? Are they afraid we might just leave?
Well, I think it's a great example you use. I mean, here's an area where people are putting their own money into it, their own capital, and if it goes bust, it's their money that's being lost. I mean, compare that to NASA, where the government taxes everyone, forces everyone to fund these boondoggles, and including the poor. They take from the poorest people so they can go send a rocket ship to Mars. Well, where's the morality in that? Why not leave that entirely to private industry? If there's sufficient capital there, people will fund it if that's what they want to do, but at least it's with their own money. I wanted to give you an example on the other point you were raising, which I think is a great point of you know, you work in these vineyards and you really never know whether you're having an impact or not. And this happened to me many years ago when I was working at FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, and we put on a little supper seminar, we were calling them, in Kansas City, and there was like, I don't know, 20 people there or so. It was a very small crowd. We were used to drawing to 100 people or so in these things. And I remember telling the guy I was working with, on these things. I said, boy, I'm really sorry, because I was seminar director there, and I said, this is a big waste of money. And he goes, nah, you never know in advance. You got to just do them, and you don't know what your count's going to be, and you just go ahead and you put on a great show and so forth. Well, about 15 years later, after I'd started the Future of Freedom Foundation, and we'd been in existence that long, I was invited to a reception at Ron Paul's office, and a guy comes up to me, and he says, here, I want to introduce you to my friend. He says, my friend here runs an organization designed to influence congressmen in a libertarian direction, and I'm working with Ron Paul here in his office. And the way the two of us got into this is we were at a seminar you put on in Kansas City some 15 years ago that inspired us to devote our life to this. So
there
you never know.
There you go. There you go.
You never know.
Yeah. I do know. You know, I've been through this so many times that I know the impact that, you know, I've had, you've had, other people have had, what they had on me. So I just, you know, if I can just broadcast a lot of stuff. I mean, I give you an example. We had 50,000, we've probably done over 100,000 DVDs. I mean, we have three 11-stack duplicators. We can do 500 DVDs an hour. And I'm going, okay, so what if we go to these tea parties and we give them all Obama deception? You know, with Freedom to Fascism from Aaron Russo's movie and the For Liberty Ron Paul documentary. And these older people, they're not on the internet. They don't know this stuff. That's the backbone of this Republican takeover, the Tea Party kind of thing. It's just controlled opposition. Fox News and Clear Channel says, we got the permit for the stage and the mic, and look at all these people. We represent them. They want this because we said so. And I'm going, right. So what we did is we'll put 10,000, I think just Searchlight, we did 7,000 DVDs go to everybody and have fun. How many does it take for these retired senior citizens in their RVs that are now traveling to places north, all over North America? You know, they're leaving the warm climb here, going back home. Does it take a month? Does it take a year? Does it take a decade? Does it take a week? You know, they watch these DVDs, they start sharing with other people. Is there an infection there? Is it going to have an impact? Hell yeah! And it's going to be out of 7,000 people. What am I looking for? One Jacob Hornberger? One Ernie? One? I mean, how many does it take? What if I get 5? What if I get 100? You know, it's all good, because I understand we are not that evil of a species. We are generally good people that want to do the right thing. We've given this small group of people too much power, and we need to eliminate the power. Not about us being in control of the power, not us taking over the power, not giving us the ring of power. It's eliminating the power. Well, and that's a good question for you, Jacob. You know, how much government do we really need? I mean, what is the problem? Are we just looking for more government to fix the bad government? What are we doing?
Well, that's really the critical issue, you know, because these conservatives that talk in terms of small government and big government, it's ridiculous. Because, I mean, do you want a smaller DEA? Do you want a smaller IRS? I mean, okay, it might be an improvement, but that's just improving life on the plantation for the serfs.
Amen.
You know, I mean, what we're talking about is a free society, which raises the question that you raised. What should be the role of government in a free society? If government should not be regulating what people put in their mouth, then it doesn't become a question of a smaller DEA and more efficient drug laws. It gets to a point where you're saying you need to abolish these laws and abolish the DEA and so forth. And so libertarians have always held that there's three, without getting into the other debate on anarchy versus limited government, the limited government libertarians say, look, there should be three essential functions of government. Police to punish and go after violent people, murderers, rapists, thieves, and so forth. Defend the country against an invasion, which, of course, is a virtual non-existent possibility these days. And to provide a judicial system where people can go to court and resolve their disputes peacefully and amicably. But this notion that government should take from one group to give to another group, or should regulate economic activity, or regulate what you put in your mouth, or invade foreign countries and sanctions, embargoes, assassinations, I mean, that is totally outside the realm of legitimate functions of a government.
Well, I want to ask you this, though. I mean, is that the inevitable mission creep of any government? I mean, I mean, you can know. I know. You know, I was getting ready to go to the minarchist anarchist kind of debate right off the bat. Anyway, you gotta just sidestep that one. But you know, let's get into that. I mean, just a little bit. I don't want to have to go on forever. But you know, the main thing is that you have libertarians that will say, you know what, I'm if they go, I give you an example. I'm on the radio, and we'll talk about various issues that we're doing. Well, you're just an anarchist, and I go, compared to what? I mean, is that my choice? You know, what we have now are anarchy? Well, heck, I raised my hand way high for no government compared to what we got now. I couldn't possibly be a greater plague on the planet that have none of this power to socially and economically engineer everybody as compared to just, you know, them doing it. I'd rather. So where is your philosophical bent? Are you arguing that there has to be some kind of government and we need to try and contain it, or will humanity eventually evolve out of a need for it?
Yes, no, I am of the firm conviction that you do need a central government with monopoly of force. I take the position that 98% of people in society are peaceful, law-abiding people. I mean, you know, you walk into the mall and everybody's getting along, they're passing each other, nobody's robbing each other and stealing each other. But there's, let's say, 3% of the population that's going to be the robbers, the murderers, the rapists, the thieves, and that society needs a way to suppress that group, that you can't give them the right to have their own courts and their own judicial system. You can't give the mafia the ability to have its own jurisdiction and establish its own rules on using force. And so I think you do need the government. But so the quest becomes, as you say, how do you limit that, and is it possible to limit it? Well, we've done a pretty good job limiting it in the area of religion. You know, we don't have the states subsidizing churches or regulating churches. Free speech is, by and large, free in this country still.
You have the churches start preaching from the pulpit against this war, and I guarantee you, here comes the government.
Well, maybe. I don't think they'd be subsidizing them. They might be going after the IRS revocations.
Faith-based initiatives.
I'm sorry?
Faith-based initiatives.
Yeah, but again, you see, that it's how do we get rid of that power? I mean, get rid of the IRS and the income tax where you don't. I mean, that's the crux of the problem. And what I'm suggesting is, with constitutional amendments abolishing the income tax, separating the economy and the state with a constitutional amendment that says, for example, no law shall be passed respecting the regulation of commerce or abridging the free exercise thereof. Same thing on education. Same thing on health care. Let's try that. As a friend of mine said, let's get down to the night watchman state, and then let's debate on whether he needs to be privatized at that point, the night watchman. And to me, that's a much better way to go than to try to make the case of, let's go into a situation where you have no government at all, where everybody's going to establish his own court system and his own police and so forth, including the mafia. I mean, it seems to me like once you open that door, you got to say mafia's got the same right to do that.
You know, this is a good discussion. And I think what happens is, by those that would make the argument like, look, man, and until you can keep them from using this monopoly of force to take from me, blah, 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 I vote none. And then you have Jacob out there going, hey, man, you know, we need it to protect our rights. That's a whole Declaration of Independence, the whole purpose of government, defend individual rights. When they stop doing that, alter or abolish. So I'm going, you know, I tell you, you got to throw me one little bone here. Us being out here being all anarchists, crazy people, makes you look a lot more moderate.
Well, that's very true. I mean, that's why I like hanging out with you guys, because you make me look moderate. Walter Williams once said that about us, that we make him look moderate. I think that, you know, when people use this anarchy thing, whenever you want to dismantle the welfare state programs or the warfare state programs, they say, oh, that's anarchy. Well, that's ridiculous, because Americans lived throughout the 19th century without a warfare state, without a welfare state, and nobody's going to argue that there was no government in the 19th century.
Well, when we come back in the final segment, I want to give Jacob Hornberger an opportunity to promote some of his latest works, some of his articles that you should see, and some of the future plans of the Future of Freedom Foundation that has survived this libertarian quest for truth for a long time. And and he still looks good doing it. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Impossible right up until it's possible with Jacob Bumper Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. I'm Ernest Hancock here on Declare Your Independence. And I wanted in this final segment here, I wanted to make sure, Jacob, you had an opportunity to promote Jacob and Future Freedom Foundation. Tell me every little old thing that you're got your fingers in right now, what you got coming up, what you're doing, man.
Well, with all the, you know, the Obama administration is doing, I mean, our focus is returned primarily to the principles of economic liberty. I mean, we oppose socialism and interventionism and the things that impoverish a society. I've just written a three-part series on the minimum wage, which is just a direct attack on the poor, especially inner-city black teenagers. We address all the socialism of Obama's health care plan and so forth. But that's not to say that we have forgotten the warfare state, because, as you know, Ernie, Obama has embraced everything that the Bush administration has been doing in the warfare state, the infringements on civil liberties, the enemy combatant doctrine, all the hyping of the terrorist threat, and, of course, bombing and killing people overseas, which is what is precipitating the constant threat of terrorism against Americans.
What happened to the anti-war movement, Bumper? Where'd it go? What happened?
Well, Obama got elected, and so the liberals take the same position the conservatives do, that when their man's in office, it's time to seal their lips and become mute. And while there are some principled liberals that haven't done that, like Glenn Greenwald, most of them are acting just like conservatives. As soon as our man's in office, we got to keep our mouth shut and loyally support him. And, of course, conservatives are over here taking the opposite tact, exclaiming against the out-of-control federal spending that they were mute about when Bush was spending the country into bankruptcy.
Oh, I got to do an invite here. I got pressure you. Here we go. Labor Day weekend, that Saturday, I'm working with Angela Keaton from antiwar.com, Scott Horton and so on, and we have others that are lined up. We're going to go ahead and do an anti-war conference here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, wow.
And we'll do it like kind of like a Freedom Summit thing, and we'll set it up. So that Saturday, that weekend of Labor Day, if you're available, you certainly got an invite to speak. We'll work it out. So put that on your calendar, man, because I'm telling you, I know what's coming. I mean, this is one of the Ernie prediction thing. The government will need to have some kind of big, giant, oh, my goodness, something happened, whatever. No, we got to come together in the war, and they're trying to kill us, and let's go get the towelheads. And when they do that, you know, are we going to get a resurrection of the anti-war movement before this election cycle? Not on its own. I'm willing to stand up and go, look, hey, yo, what's up? You know, this needs to be out. We need to know what's going on, the truth behind it. And I certainly would like to have a Jacob Hornberger there.
Oh, that'd be great. And let's not forget that by that time, the war on drugs might have expanded beyond the border, where they'll have lots of troops down there killing people and barging people's door down and confiscating guns. And a few maybe terrorist attacks from Latin Americans that are sick and tired of losing family members as a result of this war on drugs. So there may be some interesting times ahead.
War, and more war. I am in total agreement, and somebody's going to have to challenge the cult of the omnipotent state.
That's what we're doing. Ernie, it's a real honor to be with you, man.
Yeah, Jacob, it's always a pleasure, and is there any particular article you want to promote real quick, what you're
just
working on
now? Just come to our website, fff.org, and get a free subscription to our FFF email update. Just send an email to bfrazier@fff.org, and we'll give you a free subscription to our daily email update.
Thank you very much, Jacob. I encourage all of you to learn from FFF.org. Jacob been around doing this a long, long time. You need to get plugged in, people. And here's enough. We'll be bringing you all kinds of good guests here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Stay tuned for more and more and more truth as the years go on, because that's what's going to beat these guys. I don't know any other weapon that will. We'll see you tomorrow.